Good morning, Christ Center. It's Saturday, November the 1st, and we are on the last day of week 8 of our Book of Mark devotional series. Today, we're going to be reading Mark 14, 66 to 72. But before we begin, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts as we invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 14, 66 to 72. While Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the high priest's maidservants came. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You were also with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about." Then he went out by the entryway, and a rooster crowed. When the maidservant saw him again, she began to tell those standing nearby, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. A little while later, those standing there said to Peter again, "You certainly are one of them, since you're also a Galilean." And then he started to curse and swear, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered when Jesus had spoken the word to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept.
Poor Peter. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Also here with Pastor Joshua. It's easy to look at this passage and to look and go, man, what a loser. What a loser. And the only way we can do that is if we completely remove the context. Joshua, Peter clearly made a huge mistake here. But is he a loser for making the mistake?
I think he's human. This is unbelievable pressure. What's just happened? You have the miracle worker, the raiser of the dead, the multiplier of bread, all these things that Jesus has done, and now suddenly he's been arrested. You've just watched your leader get punched in the face and spit on. You know, we read about that yesterday, and they marched off with him. And so you can feel like you're prepared to face something. Jesus told them, this is going to happen. But now it's happening. And Peter's in fight or flight mode right now. I mean, he is 100% in survival mode. He's trying to stay close. He's trying to do the best that he can. But, you know, when he's faced with, this is very real. Pastor Mark brought up earlier that when other messiahs had come and they were executed, all their followers were executed with them. So this wasn't something that was a maybe could happen. This has happened,
yeah,
and very likely could happen. So he's in survival mode. So when she says that, he just immediately is going, I don't even know this Jesus. It's out of his mouth before he's even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then it says, then boom, first time the rooster crows, still he's in survival mode. And she continues to bring it up to those around. Wait a minute.
One of the parallel passages talks about his accent. And they're like, no, that's 100% Galilean. Like, you know, it's so obvious, and they keep coming back. No, it's not me. And he's losing it here because he knows that he literally could get arrested right there. They could just haul him right in with Jesus.
I think another piece of this is he's just heard them condemn Jesus to death and say he's deserving of death. And yes, the Sanhedrin doesn't have the authority under Roman rule to execute that, but that sentence been put out, and here he is hoping that his Jesus is the Messiah who's going to lead them to victory. And even though he said otherwise, he's finding out that the God he thought was going to work one way is not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And there's this crisis of faith moment going on where he's like, my world and my expectations have completely come undone, and I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And yet at the end, and I think part of why he's standing there is he still loves Jesus as a friend, even though he can't understand. And at the end, it's like, oh, I've done what he said, which is actually reaffirming for him, I think, that Jesus is the Messiah.
Just thinking about what you said in terms of this could have been a crisis of faith for him. And, you know, it appears John the Baptist, while he's rotting in prison, had a bit of a crisis of faith. Like, you sending a message to Jesus, you are the one we've been waiting for, right? Like, you really are the Messiah. And I wonder if part of this is Peter, just like, oh man, what if we've blown it? What if, I don't know, what if my eyes deceived me? What if he's going through and replaying all these things that he thought he saw, all these miracles? And what if I'm wrong? Here, messiahs are not supposed to suffer. I know he's told me he's going to suffer, but they never believed it. Messiahs are not supposed to suffer, and here he is suffering. What if I'm wrong? I don't want to go down with him, like so many others have. This is an incredibly intense moment.
I love that Peter, in sharing this with Mark, is expressing his confession of failure.
Yeah. Yeah. Joshua?
I think that's such an invitation for each of us, is seeing these stories told as they happened without editing out the weak points and the humanity and the fact that, like, this is just how it went. I wish it would have been different, but it wasn't. But the hero in this story is Jesus, and the fact is that he's able to carry all of these people through. You know, when Mark is being written, the church is continuing to expand. Gospel is going out everywhere. This is what, 30 years later that this was written, thereabouts? And so, you know, they're reflecting back, well, how did this go? And so we're hearing the blow-by-blow of how this happened. And Peter is able to share with us, in my weakest moment, it went exactly the way that Jesus said. But here's the great news. This isn't the end of the story. I did break down and weep. I did deny my Messiah exactly the way that he said that I would. I was much weaker than I thought I would be in that moment. I didn't hold on to the peace and the confidence that really is in my heart. But when the chips were down and I was alone and they were hauling him off, I was alone and they were hauling him off and I denied him. I went into survival mode, but he did rise again and he did restore me. So we're not there yet. And I don't want to jump ahead to that. But that's part of the story, is that God is still faithful in the midst of our weakness.
I wish that I could sit through a sermon by Peter a couple of decades after this moment and what he might say, and to talk about the grace which he received even after he believed. So many times we think our testimony is like the moment we were converted or something, and miss the incredible roller coaster of a life. And this whole journey in Mark, in addition to seeing the big question of who is Jesus, we see Peter over and over again in these moments of failure, of bravado, of success. We see all of these things, and we know where he turned out. Like, he turned out to be the stalwart leader of the church, one of the first ones to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. I know he struggled with that at first, but he got there, and he ended up dying a martyr's death. Like, this is a man who learned from all of these mistakes. And this story is a beautiful part of his story because it was redeemed.
And that really is the testimony. I denied Jesus. He didn't deny me.
Yeah.
I was weak. He was strong. I was afraid to die. He died in my place. This is what our testimony is. This is why this is good news.
Yeah. That's good. Mark, you want to pray?
Lord, I just thank you for your goodness, for your willingness to be with me even when I won't be with you. That whenever I turn around, whenever I repent, whenever I seek you, you have never turned away from me. We just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.